Before I minister, I just want to show, Melissa's going to show a video. Okay. And we'll jump right into it.
Unexpected but powerful friendship. Sorry. We're looking at unique connections to highlight how Americans have more in common than recent headlines might suggest. Steve Hartman shows us how an 82-year-old widower was touched by an innocent question in the canned food aisle of a grocery store when he needed it most.
Not long ago, in a cemetery outside Augusta, Georgia, a loving couple was buried. The wife buried below this white bouquet. The husband, buried above, in a mound of grief.
Took me totally by surprise.
82-year-old Dan Peterson says after Mary died, he fell into a deep depression. Spent days just staring out at the squirrels.
What were you living for?
I was trying to figure that out, frankly.
You had no purpose?
No.
Were you just waiting to die?
Yeah.
For 6 months, it was just that bad.
And then one day you go to a grocery store.
It all changed inside this Publix.
Dan was nearing the end of the canned vegetable aisle. He hates grocery shopping, and by all accounts, the expression on his face confirmed his aggravation. But that's when this unapproachable man was approached by a 4-year-old girl named Nora Wood.
In the security footage, you can see Nora randomly reaching out to him. Her mom, Tara, says it was quite embarrassing.
She stood up and said, "Hi, old person, it's my birthday today."
Old person?
Old person.
Hi, old person.
She says this to this cranky old man?
Yeah.
And then had the audacity to demand a hug.
I said, "A hug?" I said, "Absolutely."
Nora got her hug and then asked her mom to take a picture of her with her new friend.
She zeroed in on him like a missile. And she didn't want anything from him. She just wanted to make him feel loved and give him a hug. And his little lip quivered and he was teared up. And it was just sweet.
And I said, "You don't know. This is the first time for quite a while that I've been as happy."
That all happened a couple months ago. And his grin has only gotten wider since.
"Hi, sweetheart, come in, come in."
Today, Nora visits at least once a week.
"So how's my sweetie, huh?"
And every time, it's the grocery store all over again.
"I knew I was going to get a hug." Oh, it's unbelievable. Totally unbelievable.
"It's a bridge."
"It's a bridge, oh, okay."
Dan does have grandkids of his own, but they're all grown and gone. And Nora does have grandparents. But her mom says this is a completely different kind of bond that almost defies explanation.
"She fell asleep holding a picture of them. What?"
To Dan, it's equally miraculous, but far less mysterious. He believes Nora is, quite literally, an angel.
"She opened me to a love that I didn't know existed."
Dan, let me ask you. When your wife died, you felt like you didn't have any purpose anymore. Do you feel like you have a purpose now?
"Of course. Nora, watching her grow up, I know I made room in my heart for a lot more."
Steve Hartman joins us now.
Oh my God, Steve.
Wow.
Jeez.
What do you think, what do you attribute this bond to?
I don't know. Nora.
All right. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? How a little girl can touch a total, complete stranger. Amen. And it wasn't coincidence that they hooked up that day. Amen. So this morning, I want to talk about a place to belong. A place to belong. Yeah. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to look at verse 12 and then jump to verse 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to read verse 12 and verse 27. A place to belong. Amen. Well, if you're there, just say, praise the Lord. Nobody's there yet?
Praise the Lord.
All right. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you. Father, as we come before you this morning, we thank you for your presence here with us, Lord. And Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for the Holy Spirit who is the teacher of the church. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would teach us, open our eyes to see through the Word of God, and that we can draw from the Word, the life that is in the Word of God, that it will encourage, it will exhort and admonish us and build us up in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we do have a place that we belong. Thank you, Lord, for accepting us into your beloved, Father, into your bosom, Father God. And Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do and what you're going to say this morning. We ask in Jesus' name, and everyone say amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. Now you are the body of Christ. Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Notice that. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about earlier how great God is. Amen. God is a great God. But you need to realize that you are a child of this great God. Yeah. Realize who you are, who God is and who you are as a child of God. You know, we haven't even touched into the depth of who we are as God's children and what God has given to us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him, Jesus, to be head over everything for the church. Notice that. Which is his body. The fullness of him who fills everything in every way. That God has appointed him or placed Jesus the head over everything for the church, right? Which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. In saying that, how many of you know that the church isn't a place or a physical location? It's not a building, but it's people. It's a community. People just like you and me. Amen. You know, church isn't something that we attend, but praise God that you're here this morning. But it's something that you are. Church is who you are. Well, we can say it this way. The church as a whole, the universal church as a whole, we can say it this way. The church is the visible, physical presence of Jesus Christ in the world. That's who the church is. The way that the world is going to see Jesus is through the church, his body, through you and I. Amen. The body of Christ, which is made up of believers. How many believers, believing believers are here this morning? Believers. Through the Holy Spirit, Christ lives in us. Amen. Both individually as believers, but also corporately as a church. The church, which is the ecclesia, the called out ones. God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, who at times past were not a people, but now we are the people of God. This is who we are, the church, the body of Christ. Amen. Now, in order to have a thriving, growing spiritual life and the power that comes along with that life to grow, right, and live the Christian life, how many of you know you need the power of God to be able to live this Christian life? Yeah. On your own, you cannot live this life. You cannot live this life without God, without Christ. Amen. So in order to live this spiritual life as a Christian, to really grow and develop yourself in Christ, the book of John tells us we must abide in Christ. I believe it was John chapter 15, verse 5. The Passion Translation says, I am the sprouting vine. This is Jesus speaking. And you are the branches. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you, right? That you realize that he is your source. He is your sustenance, right? Just like a vine that has branches, the branches receive its sustenance from the vine. Jesus is saying, I am your source. You are the branches. You receive the life from me. When you abide, you live, you dwell in me, you receive that, right? But when you live separated from me, you are powerless. Or another simple translation, you are nothing apart from him. But in him, through him, by him, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, yeah? So in order to live this spiritual life and to receive the power to live this Christian life, we must abide in him, we must dwell in him, we must live in him, and that he becomes our life source, right? So that we can grow and become fruitful. And as I said earlier, the church is the body of Christ, his presence in the world, right? So in order to be in fellowship with Christ, right? To be in fellowship with him, we have to be in fellowship with one another or with the church, right? We have to. Well, another word is koinonia. Everybody say koinonia. Koinonia is the Greek word for fellowship. Somebody asks somebody, what is that word, koinonia, fellowship? Well, it's two fellows in a ship, right? But it's more than that. Fellowship refers to community or finding one's place in a group. This is what koinonia means. Finding your place in a group of a community, of a body, right? Or finding a place in this community, in this group, where you belong. You follow me?
Yeah.
Or it's an interactive relationship between God and believers who share this new life in Christ, which involves participation and accountability. In this group where we find our place, it involves participation. This is how we grow. The highs and lows of Christianity. To see people's prayers answered, to see people healed, to see people walk through their trials and see them come out on the other end through the storms, right? We get to see all this within this community, this place of belonging. See us walk our faith out and pray for one another. You know, this is the place of belonging where we begin to experience this as a family, as a church. Amen. It involves participation as well as accountability with all people from all walks of life, from all different nationalities. Isn't that great? Amen. That we don't all look the same. All different jobs, right? This is God. This is community. So everybody say koinonia.
Koinonia.
Now a person who tries to be a solo Christian or a Lone Ranger Christian is literally cutting themselves off from God. God's appointed means of spiritual vitality, growth, and strength. There's no such thing as being a Lone Ranger Christian. Because God never intended for each one of us to serve him alone, but to serve him in a community of faith, a body, a place that you belong. So this morning I want to talk to you about belonging, a place to belong, the church. See, you're called to belong, not just to believe, but to belong. You see, everyone needs a place to belong, right? A place that fits you. Fits you just like that pair of old jeans or that old sweater that your wife tries to get you to get rid of. Or maybe you might have an old pajamas that fits you well that, you know, you think I should throw this away, but, you know, it fits so well. You know, I have a couple shirts like that, right? All stains, but it fits so good. I don't want to throw it away. You know, God doesn't want us to be isolated or to be alone. But he wants us to be in a place that we belong. Turn to the person next to you and say, you belong here.
You belong here.
Amen. You belong here. This is my seat. I belong here. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, God never intended us to be isolated or to be alone, but a place to belong. In fact, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, the Lord God said, it is not good for my man to be alone. I will make him a helper, fit and suitable for him. Notice that. God says, it's not good for my man to be alone, but I'm going to make him a helper who is custom fit and suitable for him. See, God never designed Adam to be alone, to be isolated. Why was it not good for Adam to be alone? That's a good question. It was not good for Adam to be alone because, not because of a need that had to be fulfilled within Adam. You know, how many of you know Adam didn't need anyone to cook his meals? He could, I mean, he can cook his own meals, right? He wasn't alone so that he could find somebody to cook for him or take care of him, right? Or to satisfy him, you know, in that proportion. But God had a greater plan and a greater reason for man not to be alone. See, when God said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, let us, notice the word us, plural, right? Let us make man in our own image, our own image. Notice that God himself has community, right? Our. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit was involved in making man in his image. They were involved in the creation of man. There was a community involved. The Godhead was involved. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. And then in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, the Bible says God blessed them, right? Declared his blessing over them and gave them the task of being fruitful, to multiply and to have dominion over the earth. God was giving Adam and Eve the responsibility of spreading his glory throughout the world. Amen. And that's what God wants to do through us as a community, to spread his glory throughout this community, throughout this island, throughout this state. He was calling upon his man, his woman, the first humans, right? Created in his image. Or you can say the first humans are God in dirt bodies. That's what humans actually mean. God in dirt bodies. God created man from the dirt of the ground, and he breathed into man's nostril, and man became a living soul. So we can say humans are, you know, God in dirt bodies. And he did that so that man could accurately image him. He created, let us create man in our image. So he accurately, so man could accurately image God. What does that mean? To image God or a visible representation of an invisible God. That's what the word image means. That God placed himself in man, created him in his image, so man could visibly represent an invisible God. This is how God looks when he looks at you.
Yes.
Right? See, the task of the church is to make the invisible kingdom visible through our faithful Christian living and witnessing. That's who we are. We are to reveal an invisible kingdom. You know, the kingdom of God is a principle, right? But the kingdom of heaven is a place, right? And God wants us to reveal his kingdom, an invisible kingdom that people cannot see. This is how the kingdom of God looks like. Just like how Jesus, you know, Philip says, Lord, show me the Father. Reveal the Father to me. And Jesus says, have I not been long with you that you have not seen the Father through me? Jesus came to reveal the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the kingdom, because the King of the kingdom lives inside here. So we ought to reveal the kingdom of God, the invisible kingdom. So it was not good for Adam to be alone. It was not because of the need to fulfill a need within him, but rather because of a deficiency in his ability to accurately image God. Without Eve, he could not image God accurately. Without Eve, they could not replenish the earth. Aren't you glad that God created Adam and Eve and not Adam and Steve? Because they could not multiply or procreate if it was such. Right? So Adam needed Eve to accurately reflect God. They both needed to live in unity with one another. The Bible says the two became one flesh. Everybody say one flesh. Signifying oneness and unity, harmony, so that the relationship of the Father, Son, and the Spirit, which is unity, the unity of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, was a model that we could follow. And that we could properly model it through them. So even back in creation, God never designed his man Adam to be alone, to be isolated. But in God's original design, they were created for community, they were fashioned for fellowship, and they were formed for family. Because none of us can never ever fulfill God's purpose by ourselves. Amen. In order for us to fulfill God's plan and purpose, we need each other. We've heard the saying, no man or woman is an island to himself. We need each other. Turn to the person next to you. I need you. And you need me. A place to belong. Now, there was a rooster that ran across the border from the USA into Canada and laid an egg. To which country does that egg belong to? Neither, because roosters don't lay eggs. Got you, right? George Barnet, you know, he does church statistics. He says, he calls America the nation of strangers. This great nation of strangers, America. Why? Because studies have shown that 4 out of 10 people experience feelings of intense loneliness. See, you'll find most of the people are lonely and just want someone to value them. You know, so I appreciate our Halemakua ministry, right? It's a ministry that go to Halemakua and visiting our elders there. And, you know, most of the time, you know, is Jerry here? Yeah, Jerry is our head over Halemakua. And these are people who just want to be listened. They want somebody just to sit with them and sow their time of just listening to them, right? And hearing their stories. That's all they want. Because most of the time, they're just left to themselves. They're lonely. And this is a tremendous ministry. And, you know, a lot of the times that they've gone, Jerry and Michelle and the kids have gone, they have helped in the sense of many receiving Christ as their Lord and Savior, but also to allow them to transition from earth to heaven, you know, by sharing the gospel, you know. So it's a tremendous ministry. So if there's 4 out of 10 people in America that is lonely, right? How many people right here on this island that are lonely? Just like that man we watched, right? Who knows what he was going to do to himself because of loneliness. And just so happened, God sent a little girl and changed the whole course of his life. And you can change a whole course of somebody's life. Amen. Just like how that little girl did. If God can use that little girl, how much more can he use each and every one of us? Isn't that bold of her? Hey, you, old person, come here. Give me a hug. It's my birthday. So America, a nation of strangers, 4 out of 10 people experience feelings of intense loneliness. You know, American culture produces people who are more closely identified with characters on a weekly television series than with their next door neighbors. You see, everywhere you look, there are signs that people are hungering for fellowship, they're hungering for community, and a sense of family. They're looking for a place to belong. And church, we have the answers. Amen. You know, there's a story of a sweet old lady. Every week she waits in line at the postal office just to buy 2 stamps. So when she gets to the counter, the postal worker suggested to her, "Ma'am, you don't have to wait in line just to purchase 2 stamps. You can get them from the machine on the corner right over there. You can buy stamps instead of waiting in line." The old lady responded, "Yes, you know, I know, dear. But the machine doesn't ask me, 'Hello, how is your day going?'" See, people long to be connected. They long to find a place to belong. Yeah. See, the Bible uses a lot of metaphors in describing the church, right? The church, the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, God, you know, all these different metaphors. But the most persistent is that you can find in the Bible is family, or what we call ohana in Hawaii, right? The New Testament believers call each other brothers and sisters. So if you're brothers and sisters, you must be part of a family, right? Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 says, "Now you are not foreigners or aliens." He's speaking to the church at Ephesians. "You are not foreigners or aliens or strangers any longer, but citizens." See, when you're in a body, you know, you need to, if there's somebody that you don't know or somebody that you want to know, you know, go spend some time with them. The body of Christ should never be a place where we are strangers or aliens, or, you know, what's that person's name? They've been coming for a while, but I don't know their name. That's the very one you should go talk to and memorize their name so you don't forget them. The body of Christ is never to be a place where you're alien or a stranger. We need to know each other's name. We need to know our families, right? Because if we're not doing that here, are we going to do it out there? So let's start here, right? And take somebody out for lunch and say, you know what, let's spend some time together. So you are not a foreigner or alien or strangers any longer, but you are citizens together with God's holy people. You belong to God's family. Repeat after me. I belong to God's family.
I belong to God's family.
I found a church.
A church family I belong to.
Now think about this. While our relationship with Jesus Christ is a personal relationship. How many of you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? It's a personal relationship that we have with him. what I call our inner court ministry, where we minister to him one-on-one and he ministers to us one-on-one, right? A personal relationship has to be continuously cultivated and developed, right? This is how a relationship begins to grow. It has to be developed, continuously cultivated, whether it's a relationship with God or a relationship with a husband, wife, or kids. All of these have to be developed. So although our relationship with Jesus Christ is a personal relationship, God never intended that relationship to be private. Your relationship with him was never to be private amongst others. Does that make sense? Yeah. The things that God speaks to you and he speaks to you is things that we can share with others. See, if you experience through your relationship that God really loves you and that you believe that with all your heart, that shouldn't be private. That should be shared with somebody else, especially somebody else that doesn't know that God loves them. So your personal relationship, right, with Jesus Christ, it has to be there, but it shouldn't be private or exclusive. Aren't you glad that Jesus' relationship with the Father was never private? His personal relationship. See, God specifically designed us to crave and to thrive in relationship with others. Because together we get to experience the highs, we get to experience the lows with other believers. We get to walk out our faith with one another. We get to trust with one another. We get to pray with one another. Amen. We get to see each other's breakthroughs. We get to experience and see people's healings. And it builds our faith, right? That means everyone, whether you are single or a single parent, married, needs community and a place to belong. Praise God. Yeah. In Romans chapter 12, verse 5. Romans chapter 12, verse 5. Are you learning something this morning? Yeah. Paul says, so it is with the body, with Christ's body. We are Christ's body, right? So it is with Christ's body. We are many parts. I'm one part of the body. You're one part of the body, right? But we make up the body of Christ with many parts. And we belong to each other. Notice this. We belong to each other. Our relationship to Jesus Christ is what connects us to one another. The way that we belong to each other, the way that we are in relationship as a community, is because our relationship with Jesus Christ is what connects us as one. Amen. But what connects us as one right here is huge. Because we're connected to the body of Christ universal. I remember when I first got saved, I was working at Kapalua. I was 3 months born again. And I was fixing something in this one condo at a job work order. And I went in. And I walked in. I saw Bibles on the table. And I go, wow, this must be Christians. I was all excited. I was like, I couldn't believe that Christians live in California. I thought Christians only live in Hawaii. I mean, I was a baby in Christ. So when I was doing the work, they came in and we were talking. And I says, you guys must be Christians. They said, yes, we are. Are you? He says, yeah. So we just hit it off. So we're connected. Not only right here, but we have brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world that love Jesus, that we're connected to. Yeah. And it's through our relationship with Jesus Christ that we're connected universally with the body of Christ. And what we did this morning, prayer, we were doing our part as a body. One of the bodies says we need to pray for our president. So we as a body says, okay, we'll come in agreement. Amen. But on the other hand, you might be here this morning And maybe you've never felt that you belong somewhere. Maybe you've never known the blessing of being part of something as huge as the family of God. You know, Solomon once wrote about the benefits of belonging. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12, Ecclesiastes. You got to go way on the backside. Probably a book some of you hardly read. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 through 12. It says, two people are better off than one. Now, how many of you know Solomon was a very wise person? I mean, it's pretty simple, right? Two people are better off than one. For they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But if someone falls alone, he's in real trouble. I remember one time I was at the gym at our high school. It was in a concert hut. And, you know, we was on a weekend. And I decided to go at the gym and go work out by myself. Right? And the gym is kind of like offset from where the dorms are, pretty far. And I remember working out, I was doing bench press, and I was thinking, yeah, maybe I should go a little bit more heavy, heavier than what I normally do. And as I took it off, I brought it down, it stuck right there on my chest. I was alone, by myself. And I was thinking, how in the world am I going to get this off my chest, right? They squish in my chest. And thank God I didn't put the clamps. So the only thing I could do was just drop it one side and all the weights went on the ground and it threw back on this side. I had to do something. But I was all by myself. And, you know, the rule of thumb is you never bench by yourself if you're going to go heavy. So it's my fault. It was my bad. Yeah, I could have gotten hurt by myself. So this is kind of like what Solomon's saying. If you're by yourself, you can get in trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. So we're talking about community. We're talking about a place of belonging. So King Solomon, in his infinite wisdom, makes a simple and wise statement. He says, two people are better than one. How many of you know Jesus sent out his disciples two by two? And Solomon goes on and describes three benefits of belonging. Number one, strength, if you're writing this down. Number two, support. And number three, spiritual warmth. Strength, support, and spiritual warmth. First, belonging to a church family provides strength. Amen. How many of you know there's strength in numbers? There's strength in numbers. The New Century Translation of Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 says, two people are better than one because they get more done by working together. Wow, what a revelation. Right? Simple. None of us can do it alone. Right? None of us can do it alone. What all of us can do together. What all of us can do together. You know, there's an old, how many of you watch Charlie Brown? Charlie Brown, he's a clown, right? The old Peanuts cartoon. Well, in this particular segment, Lucy, how many of you know Lucy? The bossy one, right? She has a brother named Linus, right? Linus. Yeah, Linus. But anyway, Lucy walks into the room and demands her brother Linus to change the TV channel. He's watching and she comes in and says, change the channel, right? And then Linus says, what makes you think you can walk in here and take over? And then Lucy says, well, these five fingers. Individually, they are nothing, right? But when I curl them together like this in a single unit, they can become a force to reckon with. And Linus looks at that, he goes, oh, what channel you want, sis? Then Linus sighs, he goes, he looks at his fingers, he goes, why can't you guys get organized like that? There's strength in numbers. Amen. You know, there's power and strength in numbers. There's strength when a team works together. You know, with the amount of things to do and amount of things to get done in our church, it seems like there's never enough of volunteers to go around, right? But here's the thing. Understand, none of us can do everything, right? But all of us can do something. Number two, support. Belonging to a church family provides support. Two are better than one because if one of them falls down, the other can help him up. But if someone falls alone, it's just too bad because there are no one to help them. You know, I was thinking about this. Recently on this island of Maui, you know, there were two instances where individuals went on a hike by themselves, right? Maybe some of you read about it. And both of them got in trouble, bad trouble. After many days, thank the Lord that they were found. One was found alive after 14 days, I think 14, 15 days, 17. Thank the Lord, yeah. And then the other brother was recently found, and he did not make it. I think last Wednesday night service, we prayed for the family, the Mina family. So two are better than one. If one of them falls, the other can help them, right? So we all have troubles. We all got our wind knocked out of us sometime or another, right? You ever had the wind knocked out of you spiritually? Yeah? Something happens, and man, you just get your wind knocked out. So we've all been there. We've all experienced that. It reminds me of an army chaplain who had a sign on his door that said, if you have troubles, come in and tell me about them. But if you don't have troubles, come in and tell me, how did you do it? See, we've all had troubles, right? Jesus said in John 16:33, in me you will have peace, but in this world you will have trouble, you have trials and tribulation. But he goes on, he says, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So what Jesus was saying is, be of good cheer, since I have overcome the world, you can overcome the world as well. But notice he says, in me you will have peace. So that's the key. In this world you will have troubles and trials, but if you understand your relationship in Christ, even though there's troubles, you can be in peace, even in amongst of trouble. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. To be in your relationship, to be in communion with Him, you can be in peace while there's trouble all around you. You don't have to allow those troubles to affect you if you are in peace in Christ, in that shalom, right? Nothing missing, nothing broken. How many of you know that Jesus is all about helping people back up? We're talking about, you know, in the body of Christ, the church of belonging, there's strength and there's support, right? But you know, Jesus is all about helping people back up. How many of you can say Jesus has helped me back up? Amen. All of us, right? All of our hands. You know, when Peter walked on the water, right, we know the story. Peter got his eyes off of Jesus, right? He's walking on the water. I mean, he's just, you know, he's just walking. And then the Bible says that he got his eyes off of Jesus, right? He got his eyes on the circumstance. He got his eyes on the wind. He got his eyes on the storm. And what happened? He began to sink, right? He began to sink, but he was walking on the water. And the Bible says when he began to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And the Bible says Jesus grabbed his hand and helped him up. Amen. He helped him up. So how many of you can say that in your circumstance and situation that God was there to help you up as well? Amen. Because that's what he does. He helps us back and brings us back in the boat and continue our journey and walk with him. When the woman who was caught in adultery, who was publicly humiliated, right? Caught in adultery and humiliated. You know, Jesus could have thrown the first stone. He could have kicked her while she was down. You know, there's a saying that Christians kick their own, you know, and that needs to stop. In here, we don't kick each other, right? We help each other up. But instead, the loving Lord Jesus that he is reached out his hand, lifted her up, and gave her a fresh new start. Jesus lifted her up and says, "Woman, where is those who condemn you? There's none, Master, so neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Jesus helped her up. He helped her up. And this is who we are, church. We are here to help people back up. Amen. Yeah, we're not here to condemn people and tell how bad they are, but we're here to lift people back up and encourage them. What time now? So through the body of Christ, the church, we find strength, we find support, we find spiritual wealth as well. But I'm gonna close here and continue next week. But how many of you received the word this morning? Amen. Amen. How many of you are encouraged this morning? Yes. How many of you know that you are a place that you belong? Right here. Amen. How many of you know of people who are looking for places to belong to? Amen. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, that we are the body of Christ. We are the church. Father, we are a community of believers, Lord, who believe you, Lord, believe your word. Father, we believe, Lord, that all things work together for good for those who love you and call according to your purpose. Father, we thank you, Lord, that, Father, that we have a place, Father, in Christ, the secret place, Lord, a place that we belong, Father, a relationship with you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving us Jesus, Lord, that through Jesus' sacrifice and sowing Jesus into this world, that through Jesus' ultimate death, burial, and resurrection, that through your firstborn son, that you were able to experience many sons, Lord, to the sowing of Jesus. Your word says, "For as many that received him, to them gave he the power to become sons of God, children of God, offsprings of God." We who are the body of Christ, the family of God. Father, we thank you that we have been accepted into the beloved through Jesus Christ, and that we do have a place to belong to, Lord, and we're grateful and thankful for that. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus over each and every one that is here this morning, that Father, that they can also testify that I have a place that I belong, that I've found my identity in Christ, that I'm part of the family of God. I'm a son, I'm a daughter of God, born again by the Holy Spirit, called according to your purpose and plan, and that you are my Heavenly Father, and you love me, you accept me, and you affirm me as such. So, Father, I thank you that I found my place in Christ. I found my place where I belong. And Lord, help me to share that good news to others, Lord, who are searching, who are lost, who are finding a place to belong as well. You know, if you've never received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, and never had the opportunity to receive them and to receive God as your Father, and to say, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the Most High. I want to have a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, so that I can become part of this huge family, the family of God. And if you've never done that and you want to do that, just repeat after me. Dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I open my heart. I open my mind. And Father, I come before you a sinner in need of a Savior. Jesus, I receive you into my heart to be my Lord. Take control of my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for shedding your precious blood on Calvary just for me. Lord, I embrace your plan and your purpose for my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you for filling me with the Holy Spirit. Thank you that I'm born again. And most of all, thank you that I am a child of God. I belong to the family of God. I found my place that I belong. In Jesus' name. And everyone say, amen, amen, amen.